This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, he's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're taking you up to noon. And then we'll hand it off to D-Lo and KC. Talking TV shows at the break. I'm into Pomeroy Hour right now. Apple TV, check it out. Somebody, Eric Esquibel, I was trying to articulate how the show is like White Lotus, because it's not really like White Lotus.
Yeah.
But I was I get the same feeling while watching it, and it's this. Eric Esquibel says Pomeroy Hour is great because all of the characters are terrible in their own unique way. You know, in White Lotus, you're not totally sure who you're rooting for the whole time. That's this show. Like, everybody just kind of sucks. Like, same thing with Succession. Succession, everyone's just, oh, that's kind of what it's like. But you haven't watched Succession yet.
Okay.
It's more Succession, but in like late 1960s Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay.
With Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it.
The White Lotus thing, the awkward tension the entire time is spectacular, but you're right. You end up not liking and liking everybody at the same time. You're not quite sure.
Yeah, it's weird
how you're supposed to feel about each character.
Yes.
And then the end of season two is so spectacular because it's perfect.
Yes.
It's all perfect. You're like,
it's insane.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how that should have played out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally insane.
And you know, the writer and director of that was actually on Survivor. What is it? Is it Mike White? Is that his name?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, he was in School of Rock. He's the Jack Black's teacher buddy that
Ned Schneebly?
Yeah, that he takes over for his job. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ned Schneebly.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's fun.
I think that's
shout out to School correct. Of Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. Let's talk about the Kings for a second. I have one more. No, you know what? Hang on. I want to put a pin in the Kings stuff. We'll get to the Sacramento Kings here in a second. Did you follow the Nick Sirianni saga yesterday?
I watched a little bit of it with him like yelling and screaming at the fans.
It's so insane with Nick Sirianni and the Eagles that it's the first time I've ever saw a team win a game and been like, that coach needs to be fired.
Oh no, you were very much like, he needs to be fired now.
Yes. What are they doing still? Your head coach is yelling at your own fans on the sideline during a game? That's where we're at?
Yeah.
And then goes to the podium, and you can think whatever you want about this. I don't like that this happened. He goes to the podium for his postgame presser and brings his kid with him.
Oh, no.
I don't mind kid at the postgame. I don't. I don't. If you feel differently, that's fine. I don't mind kid at the postgame. But kid at the postgame after winning a finals game or clinching a playoff spot or setting some kind of record, your 100th win or something like that.
Or just a good solid win where there's no drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
But pulling your kid to the podium when you know there's about to be some tough questions, that's why I didn't like it. I saw somebody online say, the reporter should just ask the tough questions anyway, even if his kid is there. That's so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
That is so much easier said than done. You can sit there and you can have all the journalistic integrity in the world. You can be like, I'm a hard ass. I'm good at my job. Da-da-da-da-da. It's different when the person's kid is sitting there. Like, that's human nature, man. And maybe Sirianni had no second thought. His kid just happened to be at the game and he went, yeah, buddy, you want to come out with me? And went, but to me, it looks like and it feels like, hey, he knows this isn't going well. He knows he was jawing with fans during the game. He knows that they just barely snuck by the god-awful Cleveland Browns at home.
Mm.
And he doesn't want to have to answer these questions. So come on, kiddo, you're coming with me. That is how it looked. That's how it felt. I did not like it.
Kyle, there's something about Philly fan. And if you don't know that that's what you're getting into when you take that job, then leave. Like, Philadelphia fans, I've covered the Sacramento Kings forever.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the 76ers roll into town, there's a fight. Every single time. There's not a fight at 40 other games every season. Maybe there's a fight once or twice per year, but every single time Philadelphia, the 76ers roll into town, there's a fight in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Philly fans are different. And if you don't get that as a head coach in Philly, like, especially, it's not like he just got the job.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there. So you have to understand that they will tell you exactly what they think of you. Mm-hmm. And they're not nice.
No.
And that's just part of the job. Like, if you don't want that job, don't take it. Understand that that's who your base is.
And don't argue back.
No.
That's not going to win anything for you. That's not going to... Here's a perfect example. Here's how you handle this. Do you remember when Alec Bohm, the Phillies third baseman, made an error and just got booed into oblivion? It might have been his rookie year, his second year. He's really early on when he was in the... early on in his career. And he just gets booed into oblivion when he made an error. And he was caught on camera on the field saying, I effing hate this place. And that went viral. And he got a standing O at the next game because Philly fans are like, yeah, he's one of us.
That's right.
You don't go, he didn't go walk up to the fans and start yelling at them. Like, you just, God, I hate this place. And they're like, we kind of do too. Let's go.
Yeah, the angst.
Yeah.
The whole entire fan base of all of their sports is just like filled with angst.
And if you're Nick Sirianni, how do you not recognize what? If you're the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, look at all the love he got. We had a guy on 95.7 The Game when I was producing there get on the radio before the NFC Championship game and tell Joe DeCamara, I think is his name. Anyways, doesn't matter. Whoever it was, got on air and was like, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are the next Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. That's what they've got going over here.
Oh.
He was riding. So I remember they're winning a playoff game and he's mean mugging the camera. Like, that was his whole deal. You have to understand that, have some self-awareness here and like, hey, the reason they're jawing at you is because you're losing or you nearly lost this game. How are you not going, dang, these fans who once loved me are now shouting awful things about me and my family from the stands.
Yeah.
Let's correct this. Not, I'm going to turn around and yell back. Like, he's lost the plot. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would love to see the Eagles continue to crash and burn, so I hope they keep him employed for all 18 weeks. The same thing I hope with the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
But if you're the Eagles, I don't know how you're looking at that and going, this is what we want. This is what we want this team to be. This team that was 10-1 last year, they lost the Super Bowl, they go 10-1 and then crash and burn and flamed out in the first round of the playoffs and everybody knew they were going to. Yeah, we're going to continue rolling with this guy. Good win against the Browns.
Mm.
No chance. It is so wild that Robert Saleh got fired and Nick Sirianni has not.
And Mike McCarthy hasn't.
Bananas to me.
Yes.
Bananas. Anyways, stuff about the Eagles. Let's talk about the Kings. Brett Huff, friend of the program, tweeted out a fascinating poll question.
Yes.
He said, ignore contracts. This is... Brett Huff 22 on Twitter. ignore contracts, which player are you highest on? Mason Jones, Isaac Jones, Isaiah Crawford, or Boogie Ellis? I want to throw that question out to you. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Whether you voted in Brett Huff's poll on Twitter or you didn't, we would love to hear your answer to this question. Mason Jones, Isaac Jones, Isaiah Crawford, Boogie Ellis, which player are you highest on? We're eliminating contracts from this conversation. Where do you land on this?
I think it's interesting. First of all, you got 338 votes, and this went up yesterday at 10:24 before the Kings game. Before Isaiah Crawford played major minutes, Boogie Ellis was coming off a couple of really high-quality games. Isaac Jones had been given an opportunity. Mason Jones got an opportunity. I don't know where I'm at, like, as far as which... I think, like, first of all, I really like Isaac Jones because the Kings need that guy, right? So if I'm listing who I'm kind of, like, in what order, I also like what Boogie Ellis has done as, like, a, like he doesn't care. He goes out there and he plays his game. And he shoots, and that's spectacular. Isaiah Crawford comes in the game yesterday, and you're seeing, like there's an outline of, like, a Lou Dort-type player there. There is. There's a, of, like, a, you know, strong, physical, like, no-nonsense player. Whether he can get, you know, there or not, I have no idea. But, like, I like all of these guys. And Mason Jones is, like, the energy guy. So, I don't know that any of these guys, any of the four, should be in your rotation this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after. But at the same time, I think it's just interesting that the poll question goes out and gets so many people to vote, which is a, probably a reasonable sample size in Sacramento. And for Boogie Ellis to get 47% of the vote, Isaac Jones to get 27.5%, Isaiah Crawford to get 22.5%, and Mason Jones to get 3%. Of the vote, I just think it's an interesting look into where fans are at with this group of young players.
I think I'm, and again, this is what player are you highest on, and I think it's important to put into context, like, not that one of these guys is going to be an all-star. It's just, if to me, it's about just over the next 3 or 4 years, who could maybe be a rotation guy.
Yeah.
For me, it's Isaiah Crawford. I really like what I've seen from Isaiah Crawford so far. And it might just be confirmation bias, because when they signed him and I was looking into his college stuff, you go, man, good size, was a conference defensive player of the year. He shot it really well from three the last couple of years. This is the kind of player that they need to be bringing in. Good athlete, good defender, can knock down a three, can play multiple spots defensively. Feel really good about Isaiah Crawford. So maybe it's just confirmation bias, but I've liked what I've seen from him so far in the preseason. So I think that's who I'm, that's where I land on this. But I get it with Isaac Jones. We've talked about him quite a bit. The Boogie Ellis thing is interesting to me.
Okay.
What's the, I understand the appeal. But I feel like when it comes to fit and what the Kings need, what he does is pretty far down the list.
No, I'm with you. Okay, so, and I'd also point out, like, Boogie Ellis is coming off of two preseason games where he had hit, like, 6 of 11 from 3.
Yeah.
And he'd scored double figures twice in a row, and he stepped on the court, and instantly, what I love about players like him, no hesitation, no fear, I'm going to get my shots up, and I don't care. That's something that it's a skill in the NBA to have that mentality. And whatever it was that they were able to tell Boogie Ellis in Summer League when he was at the California Classic and then in Las Vegas, where they said, hey, look, the guy who fights, the guy who dives on the floor for the loose ball, the guy who gives us energy, who plays defense, that is what we're looking for. And he did that, like, tenfold, and then all of a sudden he gets a contract because of it. He earned the right to training camp by playing hard, and I like that the Kings reward players like this. But I think you're right, Kyle. I think the Mason Jones is way further along than any of these guys, right? Mason Jones has been in the league for a couple of years. He went to Europe and played, came back, you know, he's 26 years old. Like, he's worked on his body, he's worked on his game. The numbers he put up last year at G League level were off the charts. But this Kings team in particular, they need an Isaiah Crawford and they need an Isaac Jones.
Yes, big time.
Like, and it might not be like right now, but a year from now or midway through the season, if they have some injuries, they need players like this, guys who are gritty, guys who listen and play to their strengths. Again, we keep hearing it with Isaac Jones, that the guy, every single time there is a crash zone opportunity, he flies into the crash zone.
Love the crash zone.
Yeah, but if you have 9 opportunities to hit the crash zone and you hit the crash zone in 8 of those or all 9 of those, then it shows a willingness to be coachable and to do the job that the staff is asking. And that's something that he's done. And then I think with Crawford, he's, again, a little bit like a Keon Ellis type player. Maybe he can play the 3-4 as opposed to the 2. But he's sort of like that strong physical 3-and-D guy
sure.
that you need to create. You need to have a pipeline of these guys. So I'm with you. Like I understand sort of your listing.
Sure.
And it's kind of like what I keep saying about players at the G League level. Mason Jones has an all-around game and Boogie Ellis is a flat-out scorer.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's what the G League is about. The G League isn't about creating the next Malik Monk.
Yeah.
It's about creating the next Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
And Danny Green and Matisse Thybulle and PJ Tucker and like a name that guy that is a fifth starter or a valuable bench guy who comes in and 3-and-D and does his job and you can rely on him.
I want to articulate this properly because it wouldn't shock me if Mason Jones drives Mike Brown nuts.
Yeah.
There's very clearly a skilled basketball player there.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been in the NBA if he wasn't, right? But it feels like there's 3 times a game, maybe more, where I shake my head or laugh or just like in disbelief. I have concerns about Mason Jones as a rotational NBA player for the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, so this is where I like, just to get back to what I've been talking about.
Yeah.
It's almost unfair because what Mason Jones is somebody who thinks he can step on the floor and do everything.
Sure.
Right? And so the problem is that as a guy who's fighting his way in through the G League and has been out of the league and all that stuff, you don't fight your way in by being, you know, quality at a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
You fight your way in by doing 2 or 3 things really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like he's trying to do too much.
Yeah. And that's where it's like, you know, again, you have mistake prone players in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. And like, we can talk about that for like Bobby Jackson was like one of those guys where they take bad shots, but it doesn't matter. He's hitting a lot of his bad shots. You know, like Bobby Jackson was like the extreme case of the no, yes guy.
Yes.
Right. And it's okay to have those guys. But what you're not going to do is give a guy who's trying to make the squad that type of leeway. He's not going to get the leeway that Malik Monk gets.
Yes.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs to go out there and find like the 2 or 3 things that he's really good at. And if every once in a while he makes a really nice pass and no one saw it coming, that's fine. But you do the 2 or 3 things that you're really good at, which you got to play defense, you got to shoot the 3-ball at a high level, and you got to go hit the crash zone. That's it. I don't need anything else from you. And then a lot of times what we see is he's out there and all of a sudden he's dribbled the ball 8 times. And you're like, okay, like the only person on this team that gets to dribble the ball 8 times is his name is De'Aaron Fox. That's it. No one else.
DeMar DeRozan, maybe.
Okay.
Depending on situation.
Now, but even DeMar, typically it's because they feed him in the low post and he backs down and it's like 5 or 6 dribbles and going up and over the top of you.
Yep.
There is no running around and unrefined, like trying to find a hole in the defense deal.
And that's why I think Mason Jones probably drives Mike Brown nuts. And again, I have no idea. Just watching him, it's this consistent, just what we were just saying. Like it's this consistent, hey, that's two, Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why are you doing... Nope, don't do that.
It's too much. It's too little.
Just facepalm.
Yeah.
Just constantly. And for a guy who's... This isn't a rookie. This is a guy who's A, been in the NBA, and B, been in the Kings program for a couple of years now. And the fact that there's still those couple of plays a game. And maybe if Malik Monk had left, maybe they're looking at Mason Jones as a potential sixth man.
Yeah.
And maybe things are different. Maybe he's just not, maybe he's being miscast right now. I don't know. But I do know when you talk about this list of players that we're discussing, Mason Jones, Isaac Jones, Isaiah Crawford, and Boogie Ellis,
mm-hmm.
I think there's so much more upside with the younger guys who have not been around the league. Where, man, I would rather take a gamble on them than Mason Jones at this point.
Yeah.
For this team.
I mean, you might be right. You might be right with how the Kings are feeling. But then again, like, I think there is a lot of value. I mean, Mason is like a really, really good spirit. He's noisy.
Electric locker room guy.
Yeah, he's noisy on the bench. He's also noisy on the court. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as calling out defensive sets and like, mm-hmm. like you feel his presence. And I kind of, again, I look at it and just if we look at Mike Shanahan's running backs, right? What Mike Shanahan wants is a one cut runner,
mm-hmm.
right? He does not want a guy who gets in the hole and starts dancing. And that is not at all. And that's kind of what like Mason Jones feels like. He's not the one cut runner. And you got a lot of guys for the Kings that are like they're understanding very quickly that their pathway to the league mm-hmm. is to do XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason still looks like he thinks his path to the league is to be a Malik Monk or to be somebody yeah. that has an elevated role. And that's just it's really tough to go in and steal one of those roles.
And it's probably and that's the thing is so 3% of people in this poll that our guy Brett Huff put up on Twitter that we're talking about right now, 3% of people pick Mason Jones, and it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
We've seen flashes where you go, yo, hey, he can kind of score it.
Yeah.
Mason Jones, a little bit of a bucket.
Yep.
And it's so hard as an NBA player, if you've done that, to go, now I'm going to take a backseat. I know I've been a bucket in a game, but hey, today I'm going to go stand in the corner, and I'm going to play hard on defense. I'm going to crash the offensive glass. Like I get it, but I you watch Isaac Jones, you watch Isaiah Crawford, and you watch Boogie Ellis, and to me, I see where they could have an impact down the road,
mm-hmm.
more so than with Mason Jones.
Yeah,
on the court, because you're right.
Yeah,
he does bring an energy that is different, and maybe that's something super valuable to the Kings, and maybe they love what he brings there, and it helps in peripheral ways.
I do think that like the conversation is really intriguing, and I would even say that, you know, when we watch Boogie Ellis shoot threes in the game, they weren't bad shots. They were the right shot, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, for sure.
It wasn't off the dribble. It wasn't. It mm-hmm. was catch and shoot and do. And then that's the thing. Like even though Mason Jones hit two threes, both if I'm remembering correctly on Friday night he hit two. Both off the dribble.
Yeah.
One of them was a bank shot.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, okay, when are you going to get that opportunity in an actual game?
Yes.
As opposed to watching Keon Ellis move around the outside, catch the ball, shoot the ball.
Yes.
I know exactly whether it's going in right now or not, it doesn't matter.
It's the flow of the offense.
I'm moving somewhere, I'm catching the ball, I'm shooting the ball. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you need those guys who break up all of that, but
they've got it already.
They already have those guys.
Yes.
And that's what makes it tough. So,
yes.
Yeah, I hope that, you know, like, I think Mason could still be, he's further along advanced as far as, like, basketball intelligence and physicality and things yeah. like that because he's been in the league and had more experience. But
that's a great point. And I want to cap this with this. If they had to play a game right now with one of those guys, like they're probably picking Mason Jones.
Yeah, it's very possible.
The guy that like, if we need 20 minutes from somebody, he's probably the guy. Because mm-hmm. you for the most part know what you're going to get. But if we're talking over the next year, two, 3 years, the next Keon Ellis, like you said,
yeah,
or the next Keon Ellis type impact, maybe not the exact same player. I'm picking one of those other three guys, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Gardner Minshew idea.
Yeah.
That you're going to bring him in because you need someone who can handle something right now. And maybe he can't. Maybe he can. Maybe he can win you a couple of games versus having somebody else who's,
yeah,
you know, Spencer Rattler, who's sitting there watching for 5 or 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden he might be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Let's talk about that Raider game. They lost to the Steelers 32-13. Gardner Minshew did not start.
No.
Which we'll get to. We have some more King stuff to get to as well. And mad props. Jesse Tapia will be in here for Mad Props. Tough week for me. Another really good week for you guys. We'll do all that in the final segment coming up on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I forgot to take you out of program one.
Was I talking on the radio the whole time?
Yeah.
At least I didn't curse.
Thank goodness.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
It's fine. We're figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really talk too much during that break. It was like scary. So if you heard it, you heard it.
Yeah.
Like I said, at least I didn't curse.
Yikes.
Unlike some people on Friday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Wait, someone did on Thursday?
Yeah. Were you here?
I don't remember.
Great. Perfect. Love that. Jesse Tapia in the building for Mad Props and just the handoff. You're just going to stick around the whole segment.
That's correct.
Jesse Tapia, the producer for D'Lo and Casey, which is coming up next here at noon. Okay, quick housekeeping. Today, 4 p.m., the Cleveland Guardians and New York Yankees open up game one of the American League Championship Series. You can hear that right here on ESPN 1320. We'll have game two of that series for you as well. We'll also have Dodgers-Mets on Wednesday and Thursday. And then on Friday, we will have Yankees-Guardians. Again, tons of Major League Baseball playoffs. The Championship Series should be super fun, so make sure to lock into those here on ESPN 1320. Also want to let everybody know that Socktober's here.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, and people need socks. So please bring them to 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. We are working with The Gathering Inn, which takes new socks, unwrapped socks.
Packaged socks.
Packaged socks. Thank you.
Yes.
Do not bring your used socks. That's disgusting.
Facts. We don't want your lucky socks. None of that.
We want
new socks.
New socks that you buy from the store. You drop them here in the bucket that we have at 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville, and those go to the Gathering Inn, and they distribute them to the unhoused with the winter months coming. Socks can change a person's life.
Yes.
Or at least add some comfort to their life. So we are taking sock donations now for Socktober. Again, it is 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. We got a big bucket. You drop your new socks in there, and they will be distributed accordingly. Also, nope, never mind. Charlie said to read it carefully, and I didn't until right now. So that's it. That's all we got for housekeeping right now. Let's get to Mad Props. It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
I have a question for you guys.
What's up?
Do we want to make this preseason until the Kings regular season starts? That way we can get Jesse on the same timeline
because
he's behind right now. It has nothing to do with the fact that I've been terrible the last 2 weeks.
Oh,
that's
you're
up to you guys. Because like I said, we can go off win percentage or whatever at the end.
Yeah, no, that's what we'll do. That's
you're trying to take out my record? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's 100%
what's happening.
That ham's
been cooking, and that's really what it is, huh? You're trying to restart it so you can get back on track.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
What is happening?
I've like, been doing this for 3 weeks, too, by now. Hey,
doing this since
you guys
want to
maybe call it practice? It's practice shots, maybe?
It's 6 weeks. 6 weeks we've been doing Mad Props, and I'm like, actually, you know what? Let's restart this.
I respect it.
No, here we go. We had Brock Purdy completions or De'Aaron Fox minutes. Again, this is from Friday's game against the Golden State Warriors. Brock Purdy, 18 completions. De'Aaron Fox played 26 minutes. You guys get the win there. I did not. That's a tough go for me. You're going to notice a pattern here with me getting them wrong. Brandon Ayuk receiving yards or the Sacramento Kings first half total against the Warriors. The Sacramento Kings first half total against Golden State was 58, just 37 receiving yards for Brandon Ayuk. We all took Brandon Ayuk.
Oh.
I thought for sure it was going to be a second week of Brandon Ayuk cooking. One. Yeah, that was tough. Deebo Samuel targets or DeMar DeRozan field goal attempts. Jesse, you and I said Debo's going to get involved. They're going to target him quite a bit. James, you said, nah, DeMar DeRozan, the other Deebo, is going to get his shots up. James, you were correct. 14 field goal attempts for DeMar DeRozan, just 5 targets for Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, not great.
Pretty surprising. I think even if Deebo had gotten... the world where Deebo gets 15 targets is...
Yeah, this is not happening.
Tough. Tough go. 49ers sacks or Domantas Sabonis 3-point attempts. Jesse and I had 49ers sacks. James had Domantas Sabonis 3-point attempts. 1 sack for the 49ers. 3 three-point attempts.
Yeah, I was a little shocked he took 3 of them.
Yeah, in back-to-back games now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's 0 for 6, but he's taking the shots.
Keep taking them.
That's what matters, absolutely. And then we all rode together on these last two. Juwan Jennings receiving yards or Warriors 3-point percentage. We all went Warriors 3-point percentage, and that is a W. 38.2% for the Warriors, 27 receiving yards for Juwan Jennings. And then the last one, Geno Smith passing yards or Warriors Kings total points. It was lopsided. We all went Geno. It was lopsided, but mostly because of the end of the game on their scoring drive, their last scoring drive. It was a lot of like dink and dunk down the field that got them to 312 passing yards. 215 was the Kings Warriors total. We all got W's there. James, really good week for you. 5-1 again. Really nice work. Jesse, you went 4-2. I went 2-4. That dips me under 500 for the year. I'm 16-17-3. James, 23-10-3. And Jesse, 15-8-1.
Can you believe this guy wanted a restart?
I know.
Yes.
The blowout.
No, you can. The guy who's getting his ass kicked wanted to restart.
Quit the game and restart it or something?
Yeah, pass the sticks. Let's go. Round two.
I think we.
No, I said I got 21 skunked. I'm done.
when you catch an L, you catch an L. Let's see if we can erase it.
I think we have an idea that I'm gonna like pair with the Chatty House with Socktober.
Oh.
What if we print out a picture of John Bull's face, and we put it on the edge of the giant bin that we have?
Okay.
For Socktober. And so you can throw your socks and sock John Bull in the face and have your socks fall into the bin.
This is brilliant. And then on the last day when we go distribute them, I'll punch John Bull in the face. I love this idea.
I love this idea.
This is so great.
That's yes. right.
Watch your back, John Bull.
John Bull's the homie. We're making jokes. Shout We're out, doing John. Jokes. The Steelers beat the Raiders 32-13 yesterday. And I want to ask you guys a question. What's the Raiders season here? What's the goal here? What's
Antonio Pierce's goal is to win football games. The front office goal, I guess, should be just to lose now. Because that's honestly what it is. Their season's cooked. It's done.
It's over.
It's done. They're done.
You give up 32 points to that Steelers team? Mm-hmm. And you score 13?
Yeah, and Aiden O'Connell didn't really, whatever, I guess.
I noticed no real difference.
Exactly. It was the same. It's bad.
Just the worst. Like, to not have a plan, You know, I saw some random, like, a proposal. I don't know where I was, like, on Twitter or on one of the many social media sites that I tend to be on. And it was like, hey, why don't the Raiders trade, like, their star defensive end?
Yeah, Max Crosby.
Max Crosby.
Trade him to the Lions.
No, trade him to the Falcons for Michael Penix. And it's like, okay.
Like, that's insane.
Well, I know it's insane, but at the same time, like, what are they doing? Where are they going? Who are they? How do they get out of this? And the only way to do it is to actually start where a normal team starts, and that's at the beginning with a quarterback.
I don't think you need to, like, trade Max Crosby or anything like that yet. You're going to lose plenty of games this season. Like, you'll have a top 10 pick, no doubt, I think.
And Max Crosby isn't just like a good, he's like a foundational edge rusher.
The only reason I would ever consider trading him is if you think you're getting your franchise quarterback.
But even then, even then, I need to know, A, that that quarterback is going to be healthy. You have Michael Penix, who had, what, like three season-ending injuries during his career in college? And B, I know that guy's good.
Yeah, who's that?
No, I agree.
I'm not trading Max Crosby for a guy I've never seen play in the NFL before.
I think we only got a game and a half of him in the preseason, too.
Yeah, if the Jags say, you know what, we love Doug Peterson, we think Trevor Lawrence is the problem, and they make Trevor Lawrence available, okay, then yeah, maybe you do that, because you know that he's played in the NFL a little bit.
I think, like, with that, like, you probably trade a guy like Devontae Adams, which seems like they're going to or whatever, but you'd get a third-round pick out of that, maybe a sixth, and kind of...
Yeah, I don't... There, yeah. To be clear, I wouldn't trade Max Crosby.
Yeah, I'm not
really
trading
for
Max
anything.
Either.
Not anything realistic.
So I don't think I'm with you.
They'll be bad enough to where they have a high enough pick.
Yeah, it's just I get what you're saying, James, but I think if you can unload Devontae Adams and get a couple of picks back, even if it's a couple of mid round picks, that's helping your stash of draft picks for next year. Like that's what when you say what are they doing this year, it's like that's what this year's about now. It's figuring out, because it's a new head coach, it's a new GM. It's figuring out, okay, who's on this roster 3 years from now and who's not. And anybody who's not is available. Like that's kind of where I'm at. Everything has to be about next year.
Are we even sure, like, Antonio Pierce sticks around heading into next year?
No.
No.
The whole thing was vibes. And the vibes are terrible.
Yeah, and it was over before it started in the offseason too, because signing Gardner Minshew was not the move, and I think they kind of got caught off guard with no quarterback in the draft and all that, at least. I don't know if they were expecting Penix to follow them or whatever, but it was over before they could even begin.
Yeah, but still, like, you get Brock Bowers. It's a really, really nice pick. Looks like one of the best tight ends in the league already. So I don't even hate that. It's just, to me, it was week one against the Chargers when he punted from, like, the 40 on a fourth and one or two or whatever it was in a six-point game, and he punted. That was it. I was like, yo, that was the whole, isn't your, the whole deal, like, vibes? Uh-oh.
Whatever.
I just had something go wrong on my computer. That's tough. Anyways, that's fine. We're good. We're set up.
We're still on the radio?
Yeah, we're still on the radio, and the thing that I need didn't disappear, which is good news. So, I think we're good.
Let's go.
I think we're so back. I'm watching the Raiders yesterday and I'm going, what direction is this team going? And I think you said it, Jesse, like everything is about next year now.
Yeah.
We talked, okay, can you maybe stick around and can you hang around 500 and can you be competitive and you beat Baltimore in Baltimore? Can you sneak out a couple more wins like that? But then you lose to the Browns. You beat the Browns. But then you lose to the Steelers and lose to the Panthers. That was the bad loss.
Yeah.
You get smoked by the Panthers. You lose to the... It's just like...
They're just not very good.
That's it. I just don't think they have enough dudes.
Yeah, I also don't think... We thought they'd be around 500. Yeah. I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, I thought they'd be, hey, or maybe around in the hunt and all that, 8-9, 9-8, somewhere around there. Not even close, I don't think, now.
I don't think the Chargers are very good. I don't think the Broncos are very good. As far as division, and you're going to play them a bunch. There's no way this team's beating Kansas City, even though Kansas City, I don't think is great.
To be fair, I would have said the same thing last year on Christmas Day, and then they went in and beat them.
The Raiders always play them tough. I think the Raiders max out like 5-6 wins this season.
Yeah, they're the Rams, Chiefs, Bengals, then the bye week, then Dolphins, Broncos, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Falcons, Jags, Saints, Chargers. That's not easy. Not an easy schedule. Anyways. James, I should have asked you this last segment, and then I forgot. I got sidetracked. Isaiah Crawford got some early run yesterday in the second quarter mm-hmm. with some of the starters. He played three-ish minutes in the second quarter. Isaac Jones, who we went into the preseason going, hey, he might play this year, he might be part of the rotation, didn't play until late in the game. He got 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you making anything out of this? There were a bunch of DNP CDs with Boogie Ellis, Scal, Jalen McDaniels, Terry Taylor. They all got DNPs. Do you make anything of that in the third preseason game? Is there anything to read into?
Well, okay, so first of all, the starters were going to play a ton.
Right.
That was the idea the whole time. And okay. And the starters are going to play a bunch in game four and probably game five as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play, they might even play closing minutes. The only reason they didn't play closing minutes last night and that we see some of these like 8 minutes and stuff like that was because it was a blowout and Mike wasn't going to run his players out there in a blowout in the final five mm-hmm. minutes of a game and risk somebody get hurt.
Sure.
Especially after Malik Monk decided to take off, fly down the court, and do a chase down block on some dude in dramatic fashion.
Unbelievable play.
Everybody in the gym is like, no, 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 no. Like, please don't get
unreal
hurt.
Unreal play.
It was unreal. It was wild.
That's how you know Malik's a hooper, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. Like, the play itself was nuts, but at the same time, everyone there is like, please don't fall awkwardly, you know? I think that what we saw in game one was Mason Jones had a pretty big role early and then a little bit of Isaac Jones. In mm-hmm. game two, they kind of mixed it up and we saw more of Isaac Jones as the primary guy who's going to play with the mm-hmm. starters for a few minutes. Game three, we saw that Isaiah Crawford had that role. I think what they're doing is they're just kind of mixing and matching. And of course, Jalen McDaniels is a guy who they're mixing and matching at the
sure.
expense of.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think they saw what they saw from him in game one and game two, and they know who he is. I would take the rest of the guys that did get DNP CDs. I mean, it is what it is. Broderick Thomas, mm-hmm. like Terry Taylor, Scal Bissier. I don't think they're going to make the team. I don't think. But that's just right now.
Right.
Yeah. And I hope that they do something different there because I love having Scal around. Hung out with him in the locker room yesterday. Just such a great dude.
Mm-hmm.
We're reminiscing about all the players that he played with his first time around here.
That was fun.
Yeah, what was that like?
Oh, you got a lot of Malachi Richardson chatter in or what?
We had some Papa Giannis chatter.
Oh, yes, of course.
It's cool because Scal's story is just remarkable. The fact that he might get back to the league at some point. You hope, fingers crossed, that he does. But like what he's been through in his life is just amazing.
Yeah.
And for him to still be standing, still have a big smile on his face and ready to go out there and play, it's a good story.
Tonight, Bills-Jets. Big game for your Dolphins, Jesse.
Yeah, weirdly enough, the season's gone. It's a big game.
There's a chance that this is really funny. I don't know. I don't dislike the Bills. I'm mostly neutral on the Bills. I want them to win by 50 tonight. I would like to see the Jets just get obliterated.
I don't hate that.
It would be great. They fired their head coach for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
and then they come back the next week and just get smoked. After changing your offensive play caller and...
Yeah, Todd Downing's going to save the day, I guess.
Todd Downing?
Yeah,
that's the move?
That's where we're at.
That's the move, Todd Downing? Dude, yikes. I want the Bills to win by so many touchdowns tonight.
I think if the Bills do win, by two scores or whatever, I think we could finally, all right, enough of the Jets. They stink. It's done and it's over with.
I'm already there, bro.
I feel like, yeah, I'm there too, but it's like the rest of the world isn't.
Yeah. Well, Mike Greenberg isn't.
Yeah.
But the rest of the world.
The mothership is just so invested.
It's bad. It's so bad.
They could go, they could seriously, the Jets could go 5-12. And the talking point would be they need to get Aaron Rodgers more help.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He hasn't even really looked good this year either.
He's not
on the same page with any of his receivers.
Aaron Rodgers not being on the same page as his receivers has been a talking point for 10 freaking years.
Yeah, I'll make it 11 if he plays again next year.
Hey, what are you gonna Jordy Nelson and James Jones are the two guys, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Those are the only guys he can figure out how to throw the ball to. And Randall Cobb.
Donald Driver.
Greg Jennings. At some point, when you keep running into the same problem over and over again, like eventually you're the problem. And that's where the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, okay, it was, all he has to be is middle of the road because his defense is awesome. The defense isn't as good. And Aaron Rodgers is, I guess, middle of the road, but it's really clear that they don't have the weapons for him to for him to only have to clear that bar.
I love how we just ignored his last, not us here, but like just everyone in general just kind of ignored his last season in Green Bay, too. He was not great there.
Right, no. Because he wasn't on the same page as his receivers.
Oh, wow.
Well, see? Even his MVP season the season before that was a farce. Like, Tom Brady was the MVP, and for some reason they gave it to Aaron Rodgers. Like, what are we doing here? Tom Brady had, like, his best statistical season in the greatest career of any quarterback ever. He has his best statistical season, and Aaron Rodgers wins MVP. We're like, what are we doing?
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. If the Jets get blown out tonight, after making all the drama with Robert Saleh and all the stuff with Todd Downing and Nathaniel Hackett, if they get blown out tonight against a Bills team that they played really tough under Robert Saleh.
Yeah, yeah.
They beat him twice last year? They beat him at least once last year.
Probably split.
They always played Buffalo tough under Robert Saleh. You get blown out tonight on national TV, Monday Night Football. Oh,
let's flip this on the other side real quick. What if the Bills lose today? What if the Bills lose today? Are we... Like, what's going on with Josh Allen, Sean McDermott? Sean McDermott was catching some heat last game, too, after they lost.
I thought it's off limits to ask what's going on with Josh Allen. He's
one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever stepped foot on a football field.
He's the next Aaron Rodgers.
Have you ever seen how he runs to the sideline and then throws it super far?
Yeah.
What's going on with this Josh Allen stuff? Like, what's going on? Are we out on Josh Allen or something?
Not out on Josh Allen. Just would like. Here's my deal, and we gotta go. We gotta go here in a second. But here's my issue: Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. I understand that those guys are in some tough spots, whether it's with coaching or whether it is with their coaching staff. I would just like every quarterback to be nitpicked the same way.
Mm.
That's all.
Okay.
If we're going to highlight that, hey, Trevor Lawrence had 3 touchdowns dropped yesterday, okay, then let's also highlight that he airmailed 3 dudes who were open. Let's also highlight that. When Brock Purdy throws an ill-advised pass to Deebo Samuel that goes for a 76-yard touchdown, we're going to go, well, if the safety plays it different, it gets intercepted. Okay, that's fine. I don't even disagree. But let's do that every single time every other quarterback does it. Mm. That's all. Josh Allen does not get nitpicked at all. Ever.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that. I think he's one of the top 3 quarterbacks.
He's awesome. Yeah. He's awesome. This is not a Josh Allen is bad take.
I agree.
It's a Josh Allen does some wild stuff that does not get nitpicked.
Yeah, he went 9-31 the other, like I said, against the Texans.
9-31
Talked about it. Low-key might have
had a concussion.
Can you
imagine if Brock Purdy went 9-31 in a game?
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Steven Ruiz would drop him from the quarterback rankings.
Oh, he would drop something else too. Okay, D'Lo and KC coming up next. Jesse Tapia is the producer there. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Boop!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.